You cannot praise God in every situation. Now let me put the balance to that. Okay? There are times of sorrow. And as at times like that, it's not words of praise that tend to come out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what you know of God, what you know of God's mercies, what you know of God's abilities, what you know of God's capabilities, what He can do, the fact that He is with us, the fact that He hears us, the fact that He answers our prayers, the fact that He loves us. And even when we have, as we have had, the death of a precious child, do you realize that that precious child is in heaven, never has to experience some of the heartaches and the sins that you and I know?
Elder Bob Lowe, demonstrating incredible pastoral leadership as he ministered to our sorrow-filled congregation just 2 days after the sudden passing of a child in our church on Christmas Day, 2009. Bob loved the church. He served as elder here at Scandia from 1998 to 2012. And while he did not preach each and every Sunday during those 14 years, he did preach numerous times. And when he did, his messages were always thought-provoking and true to the Word of God. On November 18, 2015, our brother Bob Lowe went home to be with Jesus forever. And welcome to the Scandia Bible Church Podcast Classic Edition, where we dip back into our vast recorded archives to share some sermons. Sermons that, while recorded some time ago, are filled with truth that is timeless. As a reminder, you can find us online at scandiabiblechurch.org, where you'll find all of our current sermons as well as the classics. As our way of preserving Bob's service and legacy to the church, we will be podcasting our archive of his sermons, starting with this one, each and every week, for as long as it takes. In this particular sermon delivered on December 29th, 2009, Bob opened the Psalms, in particular Psalm 145, as a balm to minister and care for our grieving hearts. May the truth he preaches minister to us today as it did then, as we pray for his family and remember his friendship. Yes, we mourn the passing of our brother in Christ, but we take comfort in knowing where he is and that we will see him again. We pray that you will too.
One day to the next, you never really know exactly what's going to happen, do you? We just simply don't. God doesn't make a promise that everything is going to go perfectly, or that everything is going to go exactly as we desire it to be. And that's certainly been the case this week. It's been a difficult ending to a week. Different from what we experience normally, that is for sure. On the eve of Christmas, we met here in the church and we had an absolutely wonderful time. A time of singing, a time of praising God, a time of sharing. It was a blessing. It was wonderful. The next morning, we all woke up. For many, there are presents under the tree. And even if there aren't any presents under the tree, there is still Jesus Christ and God with us. And we celebrate that. And we celebrate that. And by Thursday night, or by Friday night, I should say, by the end of the Christmas day, after having celebrated the birth of a Savior, we now are confronted with the death of a child. Death of a child from a family member here in the church. Someone that we love, someone that we really care a very great deal for. That particular night, Friday night, Monty called, and Susan and I, we were at our daughter's house with the rest of our family together that evening. And he called somewhere, I'd say between 6 and 8 p.m. I separated myself from the group into the other room so we could have the conversation. And that's when I learned of the situation with Brenda and with the baby. So I went back in the other room and I called Susan to come. And we got back in the other room together and we called upon the name of the Lord. We call on the name of God. There is nobody else to call upon at a time like that. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. Because there is much grief. One of the things the Bible says is that with much wisdom, there's also much sorrow. But and yet, it is a glory and a joy to know the living God, to know our Savior on a personal basis, to recognize that even in the midst of a time like that, He is there. Not just with us as we were praying in that room, but He was with all of us who were suddenly touched by this event. He was with Brenda, He was with Michael, He was with the children. One of the things that you read in Psalm 23, where it talks about thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One of the things that's so clear in the psalm is that even when we go through hard times, He goes through it with us. We're never alone. We're never alone. And in these difficult times, the one thing you don't want to be is to be alone. Because it's not easy. It's not easy at all. So where do you go from here? What do we learn from this? What do we take away from this? How does something such as this affect you and me? What is our perspective in times like this? We've been studying in Hebrews. That's where I've been taking you. And I want to start there, but then I want to go to the one place that we should go, and that's to the Psalms. Because in the Psalms, you find the heart. You find the reality of living. You find, as David and the other psalmists call upon God and seek God, you find just the day-to-day things that happen to us. Because that's simply the way it is. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, I'll just read a few verses, then we'll go to the psalm, but it's probably a good place to start. It says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same. He partook of the same, first of all, through having been born. Because He was born just like you and me. Uh-oh. As He partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly He does not give help to angels, but He gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since He Himself was tempted in that which He has suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Jesus Christ had to experience what we experience. And in the process of doing so, He came to understand the weaknesses that we have. He experienced the emotions that we experience. He experienced gladness. He experienced sorrow. Jesus wept. Jesus laughed. He did all the things you and I do. He experienced all those things that indeed He might become a merciful and faithful high priest before God, knowing us so well as He did. Then it goes on and says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. consider Jesus. And that's what we talked about the last time. Consider Jesus. This morning, what I'd like you to do is turn to Psalm 145. This morning, I'd like us to consider God. We talked at length last time about considering Jesus. Now I'd like you to look at the idea of consider God. And in Psalm 145, maybe an unusual place to do this, but it's a song of praise. It's a psalm of praise. It's a song of praise. It's from David. And when you look at the life of David and the experiences of David as we know them to be, we know of the conquering of Goliath as a boy. We know of him running and hiding from Saul. We know of a sin that was a terrible sin in his life. We know of the victories. We know of the defeats. If there's anything we should know about David is that he experienced some of the same things that we experience. Differently, yes. But we too have our victories and we have our defeats. As a psalm of praise, it is unique to David. It is not unique to you and me. But let me add, there's nothing to prevent you and me from writing a psalm. We could write our own psalm of praise. Have you ever considered that? And you could actually sit down and you could write a psalm. Nothing prevents you from doing that. It'll never make it into the book. But nevertheless, you can do it. You can write your own psalm of praise, your own recognition of God in your life and all that he has done. David, by virtue of his experience, was able to write what he did. This is one of the things that he wrote. This particular psalm is broken into roughly five individual praises. There's a praise of his glory. There's a praise of his goodness. There's a praise of his kindness. There's a praise of his providence. There's a praise of his saving mercy. They're all here. And maybe at a time like this, we should consider God. Now, one thing is certainly true. And that is you cannot... Now, I'll say it this way, then I'll balance it up. You cannot praise God in every situation. Now, let me put the balance to that. Okay? There are times of sorrow. And it's at times like that, it's not words of praise that tend to come out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth is a reflection of what you know of God, what you know of God's mercies, what you know of God's abilities, what you know of God's capabilities, what he can do, the fact that he is with us, the fact that he hears us, the fact that he answers our prayers, the fact that he loves us. And even when we have, as we have had, the death of a precious child, do you realize that that precious child is in heaven, never has to experience some of the heartaches and the sins that you and I know? I don't know how many of you know this, but Jim Allen and his wife, she had a stillbirth, not a fact that I think many know. But again, it happens. It happens. We are subject to the same things in this life as every other human being. I mean, it would be wonderful if we were so special that God protected us from everything, but God does not do that. You can look at the evidence in the lives of Christians. It's simply not the case. God never promises a perfect life with no hardships. But he promises that he'll be with us through everything. That is a promise of God. So as you go through a psalm like this of praise, in the midst of what we have just been through, there is still praise. Not at that moment, because we suffer. I can tell you that the burden, when Susan and I went back with the family that evening, we were still with family, and that was still enjoyable. But there was something else, wasn't there? There was something else on our minds, something else on our hearts. And you know, I don't think there has been very many moments since Christmas night that I have not had Brenda on my heart. It's just the nature of it. You rejoice with those who rejoice, you weep with those who weep. That's just the nature of it. It's the way God made us, the way God would have us to be. Psalm 145. As I will extol you, O my God, O King, I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Psalm of praise, Psalm of David, an acknowledgement of God and all of God's goodness. He starts out, he says, I will extol you. I will extol you. Extol is an interesting word. It is to praise highly. It isn't just to praise, it is to praise highly. It is to laud. It is to raise your praise to a new level. It says, I will extol you, my God, O King. My God. A personal statement on the part of David. And then you get three I wills. And I will bless your name. Not now, but rather forever and ever, I will bless your name. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. He had to repeat it, didn't he? He had to repeat it. So what does it mean when it says, I will bless? One of the things I enjoy doing, I enjoy blessing my wife. To bless is a more personal statement. Is it not? It says, I will bless. In my innermost thoughts, in my innermost being, I will bless your name. I will consider you at a depth greater than I consider anything else. I will bless your name. Not only that, but I'll do it every day. I will bless your name every single day. He follows in verse 3, great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. There is no limit. You can never go deep enough, and you can never go far enough. It is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. There is a tradition of praise. There's a tradition. It goes on from eternity past, goes on to eternity future. There's a tradition of praise. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. On the gracious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Think about that for a minute. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, on the greatness of it, on the wonderful works, I will meditate. I will consider you. I will think about it. It will become a part of me as I consider God. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will, there's another I will, tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. Verses 1 through 7 constitute praise of the glory of God, the sheer glory of God. And then verses 8 through 10, it kind of changes a little bit. It speaks more of the goodness of God. It says, the Lord is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger, and he is great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, everyone, Christian, non-Christian. The Lord is nevertheless good to all. Good to friends, good to enemies. It doesn't matter. He is good to all. And his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. So he is good to all, but there's something special about his godly ones. Something special about those who know him personally. Because they will bless him. For them it matters. Gracious, merciful, great in loving kindness, good to all. In verses 11 through 13 now speaks of his kingdom. It says, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. Who are the they? And talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. He is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, same tomorrow. He's unchangeable. And in 14 to 16, it speaks of his providence. The Lord sustains all who fall, and he raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and he is kind in all his deeds. There is not a way in the Lord which is not righteous. There is not a deed in which there is not kindness. He is near to all who call upon his name. He is near to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him. The wicked he will destroy. There's no question about that. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. So as one looks back over that particular psalm, we find that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is merciful, he is great in loving kindness, he is good, he sustains, he is righteous in all his ways, he's kind in all his deeds. And then verse 18, he's near to all who call upon him. A couple of nights ago, we had a very serious crisis. Very serious. I don't know how many of you maybe took the time to kind of look up what the terminology was with regard to Brenda, but when you look at it, you had reason to be very concerned. She could easily have died. Easily. But the God for which this psalm speaks, praise, God of mercy. He is faithful. Many of us called upon his name, and he responded to that call. And the crisis is not over. There is still reason to be concerned. There's still reason to pray. And it will change its tone a little bit. It's no longer an issue now of life and death. It's now an issue of the loss of a son. And as we know, children are precious. They are extremely precious. And as you watch them, they bring such great joy. And your heart loves them. It just, the way it is. They're a wonderful blessing. And I've never lost one, but I can only imagine how it would feel. So the crisis goes on for a bit. And it's so important that we hold up Brenda in prayer, and we hold up Michael in prayer, the entire family. There's one thing that I think I can say with confidence. That family is going to call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord, the God that I was reading about, will be with them. He will sustain them. As only he can. The world doesn't know him like we do. What do you think about a God like that? When you meditate upon God, what do you see? What do you think about? It's almost like it's an abstraction in a way. But it's really not. He is near to every single one of us. He's near to that family. Those of us who were able came to their aid immediately, without delay. Susan was mentioning concerning Lou, for example, Lou Bond. And God had people just positioned, ready for this. He knew it was coming. He knew it was going to happen. And he pre-positioned everybody for it. He had certain people in certain places. They could receive telephone calls. They could receive emails. Whatever it took, God had prepared it. It still happened. But God, in his great mercy, prepared us for it. And we can rejoice in such a great God. Even in a time like this that's difficult, a time like this that is a time of mourning, we can rejoice. We hear of a little girl, 6 years old, with cancer, and we say, God, why? It's so hard. And yet God has a purpose in everything that he does. Every single thing that he does. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, and this is important, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we need exactly that, mercy and grace in time of need. Let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, you know the future. You know everything that happens. You know it before it ever occurs. You clearly know it before we do. Father, you know those who are yours. And Father, in the midst of this particular crisis, nevertheless, there is praise to God. For God, we know that you were present. We know that you had set things in order. We know that you have been merciful and gracious. Father, we do ask for your continued presence in this situation with Brenda and the family. Continue, Father, to bring her back to full health. Father, indeed, restore her to us. And Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful for the manner in which you have blessed in this situation. As difficult as it is, as hard as it is, because there is a loss. And yet, Father, at the same time, there is a great recognition of just how wonderful and how great you really are. It's in your name we pray this morning.
Well, that wraps up this classic sermon with Bob Lowe. Be on the lookout for more. Thanks again for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line through our contact page on scandybiblechurch.org and let us know where you're listening from and how our church family can pray for you. As a reminder for your listening convenience, you can also catch Scandy Bible Church podcasts on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. We're here each and every Sunday for our current sermons, and you're always welcome. So pull up a virtual pew. Or, if you're in the area, drop on by. Scandy Bible Church is located in beautiful Northwest in Paulsville, Washington. Until next time, for all of us here at Scandy Bible Church, may God richly bless you.